Jeannie, you had a passage you wanted to read from Driftwood Tides. Just kind of set it up a little bit, then read the passage.
Okay. This is Libby, the main character of the book, is planning her wedding, and she has genetic counseling because her fiancé's sister passed away from cystic fibrosis, and so they want to make sure that they're not both carriers. Libby doesn't carry the gene, but alongside her test results, she finds out her blood type, which is not a match for either of her parents. And so she confronts her mother, and her mother reluctantly tells her that, yes, she is indeed adopted, and tells her where she can find information about her birth mother. She isn't able to track down her birth mother, but she does find information on a recluse Driftwood artist named Halton Creary, who lives at Nag's Head, and it stands to reason that finding her husband would help her find her mother. And so here we begin with her sitting in her car outside of his shack on the beach. Slipping off her sunglasses, Libby pulled down the rearview mirror and checked herself one more time for good measure. She looked healthy and together. Maybe she wouldn't win a beauty contest, but she was definitely daughter material. At least she hoped so. She bared her teeth to make sure she had nothing caught between them, then cupped a hand over her nose and mouth and puffed. Satisfied her breath still smelled of spearmint, she double-checked that the adoption papers were safely tucked inside her purse. Carefully, she slipped them out and unfolded them. It was strange to think that Grace had once been her name. Stranger still to see the empty line where her father's name should have been. It was possible, she supposed, that her biological mother really didn't know her father's identity. She could have been drunk, high, or otherwise out of her mind. Maybe she'd even been raped, but Libby doubted it. Her bet was that her bio mom knew full well his identity, but didn't want him involved for whatever reason. Hopefully her reluctance to name him didn't reflect on his character or lack thereof. But even if he was a modern-day Jack the Ripper, Libby felt she had the right to know, had the right to at least try to see if either or both of her parents could learn to love her.
Your fourth novel is Driftwood Tides. It deals with the subject of giving up a child for adoption and then searching for your birth parents, and you sort of tackled a wide variety of issues. Jeannie, why tackle this particular subject in this book?
For me, you know, I grew up without my biological mother for most of my life, and so there was always a little bit of a hole there, maybe a big hole there. Even though I had a great dad and a great stepmom, I still missed my mother. And I think a lot of people who aren't born with parents who are around or who are ideal have holes in their heart. And I think that friends mostly friends can fill that hole for them or other family members. And so the question in this book I sort of raise for myself and hopefully answer it for myself and maybe give some other people some things to think about is, you know, what makes family family, and is blood more important than love and commitment?
You know, without giving too much of the plot away, what do you want to tell people about what Driftwood Tides, Jeannie, is all about?
I think more than anything, it's a story of learning how to forgive and learning how to be forgiven ourselves. Halton, one of the other main characters, Libby's father figure in this book, feels he caused his wife's death and has never forgiven himself, and so he's drowning his pain in alcohol, and he really needs to learn that to forgive himself, and he's able to forgive other people, whereas Libby needs to learn to forgive others.
Why is the act of forgiving so hard for so many people? I mean, you'll have families that, you know, people in the families won't talk to each other for weeks or months or years. And why is it that particular act? Why is it so hard for people?
You know, it's a question I raise in every one of my books because I see it all the time and I see it all around me, even in my own family. You know, for me, my thought is, every time I see someone going through something, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. And I think all of us are capable of great sin and great transgressions. And so, you know, we're forgiven so much or need to be forgiven so much. I'm not sure why some people have a hard time forgiving others. I think it's a question of not being able to put yourself in their shoes fully.
You know, you mentioned God, and all of your novels have had, a Christian theme to them, although it's not really overt and you don't beat people over the head with it. Have you ever thought, Jeannie, that you want to write outside that genre so that you're not pigeonholed, or are you comfortable being in that genre?
you know, in a way, we write what we know. And my worldview is definitely a Christian worldview. That is how I see the world. So a lot of that would leak through my writing, no matter whether I wrote for a Christian publisher or wrote for a secular publisher. But yeah, every once in a while, there are certain things I want to write in my books that I'm sort of constrained to write because I write for a Christian publisher. So yeah, someday maybe I will, but I'll always write from a Christian worldview.
Okay. And, you know, all three of your – we're talking with Gina Holmes, Roanoke novelist. Her latest is Driftwood Tides. And all three of your previous novels have been nominated or have won awards. The Christie comes to mind, the Inspi Award, a couple of others. Are you – you know, as a rookie novelist, now you're not a rookie anymore, are you grateful right out of the box, Gina? You got a lot of attention. You were on some bestseller lists for a while. Are you grateful and happy with how it's gone so far?
You know, I deserve – more than that. I deserve everything. Just kidding. Yeah, Crossing Oceans came out of the gates and was nominated or had won pretty much every award in its class. And yes, I was very stunned and very grateful and hitting bestseller lists with all the books, I believe, so far. Yeah, it's amazing. And I feel very blessed. And I know that, you know, every ship has its high tide and you know, that success could end tomorrow, and I know that. So hopefully I'm humble about it. And as a writer, anybody who's making their living from writing or from the arts, it's hard not to be humble because there's not a lot of fame or fortune involved in it.
Have you developed a following at this point? Are you hearing from readers who are picking up your novels now because it's the next Gina Holmes novel?
Yeah, it's started to get that way where I get letters and you know, emails and people who see me in person who now are looking forward to my next book and are reading it, not because it's got a pretty cover or because they've heard good things, but just because I wrote it. And so that's really, you know, that's really nice. That's how anybody builds their following. And now it's sort of a pigeonhole thing as far as what I write, because now people want a Gina Holmes novel. You know, I've heard that Nicholas Sparks would love to read, write in a different genre. And, you know, sometimes that would be fun to do, but, you know, people expect family drama from me and they expect quirky characters and they expect funny and sad and difficult issues. And right now I'm very comfortable with that.
Would you consider Driftwood Tides maybe a little bit lighter than your last novel before this, which was Wings of Glass, which dealt with domestic abuse and was kind of harrowing in spots?
Yeah, I think The Burning Bed would probably be lighter than Wings of Glass. But yeah, Wings of Glass was a tough book. It was a serious book, and it dealt with a very serious subject. Driftwood Tides is, it's a lot lighter probably than any of my other books because I don't have anyone dying. And
it's set at Nag's Head. And, you know,
yeah, it's a beach.
Right. Before I let you go, I wanted to talk about your website, novelrocket.com. And this has been widely praised as a good resource for writers, especially aspiring writers. And talk about Novel Rocket a little bit. There's a lot of goodies on there and links to interesting information.
Yeah, Novel Rocket is a website written by writers and agents and publishers and publicists in the business of writing, and mostly novels. And it's a great free resource. Every day there's a different interview. There's giveaways. It's just when people are looking to break in, that's the best advice I can give them is to go and read those posts and learn from other people and leave comments and connect to other writers because we really do read them.
Just a couple of questions before we let you go. We're talking with Gina Holmes, Roanoke novelist. Her latest is Driftwood Tides. Any advice for somebody considering writing their first novel? What should they be doing early on in the process?
Yeah, they should run and not do it. Now, if it's your passion, absolutely take a chance and do it. Just know that it's really tough to break in. Getting a college degree takes 4 years to get a bachelor. And if you want to be a doctor, you wouldn't just start operating. You would learn how to do that first, hopefully. So read every how-to book you can. Go to writers' conferences because they're gatekeepers in this business, and that is where you will find them. Yes, you can go and self-publish without having it edited and without learning the craft. But if you want to be good and you want people to read your next book, then you need to learn the craft.
And it doesn't necessarily get too much easier. I know you work a regular job and you're on a new novel now, and you've got you're facing a deadline soon. So it doesn't necessarily get any easier, or much easier, does it?
No, it's a tough business, and even as a best-selling author, I do have a day job, and pretty much all writers, there are a few that don't, but either have a spouse who supports them or a day job or both. So it's tough, even doing really well to make a living. And so balancing family and balancing writing and balancing work is tough. But for most writers, we can't not write.
Last question, Gina Holmes. What do you want people who read Driftwood Tides to come away with?
I hope that they'll realize that we can, even if we're not parented in the best possible way, even if we're missing people in our lives, you can learn to parent yourself and sort of fill that gap. You can surround yourself with friends and with family. And if you want to be forgiven, the Bible tells us that we need to learn to forgive.
All right. Gina Holmes is a Roanoke novelist. Her fourth novel is Driftwood Tides, and it comes out September 1st, although you can actually get it online maybe now.
Right.
Right. And Gina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Gene.